Yo, what's going on, everyone? It's Brian and Jim here at Drink a Beer and Play a Game, and welcome to another episode of the Power Hour Podcast.
Yes, hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 236. Thank you for joining us tonight. Actually, we're recording this a day early on the 19th because the Eagles are playing Monday Night Football, and that takes precedent.
God damn right it does, Chambers.
And by the time this comes out, this will be the day after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, to everybody out there. And speaking of thanks, thank you to the boys over at the Podzuki podcast for having us on. I don't know when the episode's going to come out, but when it does, we'll hoard on all the socials. But we hung out with them and we talked Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie. So whenever it drops, make sure to check them out.
And a special bonus, if you are listening, this week, we are actually going to be recording our bonus beers episode, finally talking Tiptoes with our boy Nick. So
long awaited.
We've been talking lots of movies recently. So, yeah, thank you once again, Podzuki. Always appreciate it for having us on. And, Chambers, we've already had quite a long day today together, haven't we?
Yeah. So, we're recording this on a Sunday night, as we said, and we actually spent like all day together at a mid to late November Christmas parade in my neighborhood.
I would just call it an early Thanksgiving parade.
A generic holiday parade. It's a little bit of everything. They had some Christmas. They had some Thanksgiving. They were throwing out Halloween candy. It was a mishmash, Brian.
Yeah, but yeah, it was.
We drank the whole damn time. So. True.
We sure did. It was, you know what? The weather held out. It was fine. That was nice. But yeah, just a long day, Chambers. Long day.
Yep, beautiful day. All the kids played together. Brian took a little bitch nap when he got home. All the spices, Brian. All the flavors.
You son of a bitch.
Speaking of flavors and spices, Brian, what are you drinking?
Well, it's the same thing I let you drink when we were there, because, of course, when I'm heading to a parade, I had to stop and get a six-pack, because you can't enjoy those things sober. So I'm going with the Neshaminy Creek Dawn of the Dead. It's 6.5%, and you know what? As much as I appreciate someone who doesn't do a goddamn huge paragraph, it would be nice if they said anything on here, because doesn't say what type of beer it actually is. So I'm going to look it up. But I mean, Jim, you tried it. I think it's like a brown ale.
I was like struggling because it looked like a brown ale or a porter as you're like pouring it out. But then it was very hoppy, too. So it was like this weird mishmash of everything. I couldn't like pinpoint what it was.
Okay, it's a American pale ale.
I mean, that explains the hops.
Oh no, it's a red rot. What the fuck? I have this one article that's saying two different things. One of it is calling it a red rye IPA, and another is calling it a triple IPA.
It didn't taste like a triple.
It doesn't at all. It would just be so nice if, like, it's funny. I type in that beer, and Neshaminy Creek is nowhere on the front page to show up on Google, which makes no sense.
I mean, Brian, SEO on Google is absolutely fucked at this point.
Oh, especially the goddamn sponsored links. So this just keeps getting called
Go Master Race.
It keeps getting called an American Pale Ale with red rye. I don't know. It's whatever it is. It's definitely dark. It's pretty cloudy. So whatever you are, you're pretty damn good. But it hits you, especially because I had three of them when we were at that parade. So yeah, I'm continuing with these. Well, how about you? What you got tonight?
Hitting my old backlog. And Brian, you are in for a treat, because have no paragraph to read, I have a wall of text right here for you and yours, Brian. So, from the Trogs Brewing Company, I have the Lollyhop Double IPA. Comes in at 8.2% alcohol by volume, made with Mosaic, Citra, and Azeka. When we make our annual pilgrimage to the hop-growing hotbed of Yakima Valley, we're like the kids in a candy store. We eyeball the hops in the binds, crush them in our hands, and rub them till their oils fill the air. Lollyhop brings together three of our favorites, dry hopping with Citra and Mosaic layers and notes of orange, grapefruit, and melon, while the Azeka in the kettle adds hints of papaya and pineapple. Locally harvested rustic pale malt provides the backbone, and wheat and oats make this beer silky smooth.
Sounds like it would be good.
It's actually, like, very tasty and very smooth. And for a double IPA, like, it's not hoppy at all. Maybe it's the day full of drinking talking as well. Mm-hmm. But for what state I'm in right now, this is a very smooth beer and an 8.2%. So,
What, in the state of PA? Play on words. I'm so clever.
Don't you dare. But yeah, like, this is, like, hoppiness-wise, it almost tastes like a weak IPA, but there is a lot of citra coming through on it. So, I mean, I fall back on this a lot, but... Again, if you hate hoppy IPAs, this is a good one to check out because it is not the hoppy bullshit that you kind of are programmed to hate.
Yeah. Now, Chambers, you you did mention hopping on your backlog of beers, but you've also there's two shelves behind you. And you know what? You released a little thing on Twitter. You've been hopping on your backlog of games that you need to be getting done.
I'm making a push, Brian. I am making a push for that 23 and 23. So Tetris can go fuck itself for right now, but I have six games to go as of this recording. So I actually had my car in for some service, and while that happens, I was like, well, I'll bring my Switch with me and see what I can start. So hopped on Switch Online and played Kirby's Dream Land 2, a game I started playing last year on a legitimate cart, but the battery was dead, so it didn't save, so I couldn't go back and finish it. So I started from the beginning this year, got the bad ending, didn't go all the way with it, but... Right.
So there's so basically there's gonna be an asterisk next year.
An asterisk. There's caveats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I got an end screen. All right. There's an end screen that was at. So, but you know, I got my Kirby fix for the year. For some reason, like, it's that weird thing where I know it's a better game, like, in every aspect, but I still like the original Kirby's Dream Land better, even though that's a very much simpler game.
Well, that was Kirby game you played in a long time, right?
Yeah, it's the first I played in ages. So
maybe the Shine world. I mean, you just played that last year, so maybe the Shine is kind of like it's worn off, and unless they did something drastically different, you're probably like, eh, I've done this.
I mean, they did. Like, I mean, the first Kirby's Dream Land, they famously don't have you absorbing powers at that point. It's just sucking people in and shooting it. So, like, the main Kirby gimmick wasn't even established back then. I don't know. There's something about it. Maybe it's that experimentation I liked, whereas this one I'm like, yeah, it's a Kirby game. It's good.
Okay.
And then I talked about playing it, starting it a while ago, a couple weeks ago. Finally went back and just finished off Limbo. Fantastic, visceral experience. Moody as hell. Made me feel like an absolute moron in so many different times. Like, I was like talking about it with a buddy over the weekend when I was at a party. And I was like, yeah, I'm back to Limbo. It's like, making me feel dumb. And he was like, really? And I was like, wait, shit, am I just that dumb? Was this game not as hard as I'm thinking it is?
I talked to you earlier. Like, I do remember one puzzle legit, like, and it wasn't even so much the puzzle aspect. It was just like, I just didn't have the timing down. And I was like, this can't be this pin perfect. But no, I said, I love that game. And the art style is obviously the selling point. It still outshines the gameplay, because the gameplay is fine. Like, it's not, that's not the memorable part about that game at all.
Yeah.
But it's still really, it's fun. It's one of those games, it's like, I'm glad I played it and beat it, and I don't know if I'll return to it, but it's like definitely one I would say you should try.
Yeah, if you never played it, you definitely should play it. And I'm with you on, like, the graphics end and, like, the atmosphere it made, because if it was, like, one of those retro pixel art throwbacks, I don't think it would have hit nearly as hard. Mm-mm. Like, they did it perfectly with, like, the whole silhouetted graphics and the very minimal sound and all that stuff, so.
Yeah. No, they hit that out of the park. But no, you're chugging along. Six to go. All right, so are they all going to be bullshit titles at this point, Jim?
Yes. They will be bullshit, they will be short, and they will be dirty, and I will probably not like most of them, but they will be done. I will hit that number, Brian.
All right. Well, speaking of hitting the number, I mentioned last week I'd be Alone in the Dark. So the combo pack I have on Steam had Alone in the Dark 1, 2, and 3, but it also had Jack in the Dark, which was apparently a demo. It was its own self-contained game, but it was a demo to, like, show off Alone in the Dark 2. Okay. It is very, it's a Jim Short game. It's like 20, 30 minutes, and I knew nothing. I was like, oh, okay, let me just try this out. Very, very short. I can't even call it good. Like, after playing the original Alone in the Dark, which I really enjoyed, that one I was like, okay. Like, if it was just a freebie, it's probably fine. Other than the kind of cool atmosphere of, like, being in a toy store at Christmas time, but there's Halloween aspects to it. that was an interesting idea. But I moved right from that to Dracula Resurrection, which I talked about, and that's that PS1 old PC game. I think I really just absolutely love the aesthetic of those early to late 90s. Even point and click, if you got a lot of animated cutscenes and interesting story and good sound, I'm kind of locked in. A point and click game is not my cup of tea. It's not something I thoroughly enjoy, but like, I can't wait to get to the next cutscene or this or that. And I love the interactions with other characters. So, yeah, I don't really know how long that game is. I can't imagine any of those games are super long, but it's fine. But once I beat that, I'll be done my 2023 and 23. However, I did commit to myself, I'm going to finish Starfield, because as I said, I'm right there at the friggin' end. I just need to do something with my ship to get it upgraded enough. And then if I can, my real goal is to relive a lot of kids' old Christmas stories of beating Ocarina of Time in December, so I can just give it back to you and I can be done. And I can have a clean slate for not having to carry that through another year. That one is the itch I need to scratch.
Right. So, when I was setting up these shelves behind me, I picked up my Ocarina box and I was like, it's so light. Why is it so light compared to these other boxes? And I was like, oh yes, Brian's had this for over a year. And he's made it through like two dungeons.
Yeah. So I'll get there. I'll get there. So Starfield and that are kind of like my only go-tos. The thing that really has eaten my time, though, is the Call of Duty. And I'm still enjoying the shit out of it. Same everything I said last time, I really am enjoying it. So I don't get hate for it at all. But I'm not the demographic that would hate it. So
yeah, I want to get back to that, but game room has to be set up first. In the throes of that.
Yeah. No, but Jamers, I know we're going a little early. Sundays definitely early for us. Were we able to get any questions in this week from our awesome patrons?
Well, before I get into that, patreon.com/drinkabeerandplayagame. Where for as little as $2 a month, you can ask a question. We'll answer on each and every single episode of the Power Hour podcast. And Brian, we have no questions because we started early this week.
We did.
I sent out the flyers for the people on the socials and no bites. So is what it is. But if anyone throws in questions, you know, obviously late, we'll just do them next week. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just we'll double up on questions next week. And once again, we say it all the time, but we do truly, truly appreciate everyone that supports us. Thank you all. And we do especially want to make sure, hope you have a great Thanksgiving coming up. Be safe. As Jim said, you actually already had it. So I hope you are safe. So eat your turkey, drink your beers, and have your leftovers.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, hey, you made it.
Oh, man, Thanksgiving leftovers. That's one of my favorite part about Thanksgiving.
That's better than the actual meal itself. Because you have like 10 pounds of leftovers no matter where you go, whether you host or you're like away because people just want to give shit out. Mm-hmm. And then it gives that day or two to like all the flavor to seep in all the food. Everything kind of congeals a little bit, but not in a gross way. Oh, it's perfect.
Now, Jim, the real question is, do you get yourself a fresh can of cranberry sauce just to help go with all the other leftovers?
Ooh, you know, I've never gone out of my way to get cranberry sauce after the fact, but maybe I should.
That's something that changed my mood. Like, everything else, great leftover. Cranberry sauce leftover? I mean, it's questionable.
Questionable.
It's not the greatest. So
it's like old Jell-O. It's like,
Yeah, so I'm like, you know what? Because I know I'm going to make myself some homemade gobblers or just whatever platters. I always have an extra can just in case. So there's my little hack for you all if you want to really enjoy those leftovers.
Right, is that the only food where the canned, congealed, artificial bullshit's better than the real thing?
Like making it fresh? I really do think so because Monica made the fresh the 1 year. And don't get me wrong, she made it great.
It's good.
But there is something to that can congeal. It looks terrible. You plop it out. You're like, this is going to suck. For years, I refused to try it. And then, I don't know. Is it the sweetness? I don't know what it is about it, but goddamn, it hits so much better.
It holds its shape perfectly, but like, there's no body to it. Like, you just slice a butter knife right through it.
I think that has to be one of the few cases of can being so much better than whatever some fancy, like, ooh, I, you know, did all this shit. No. I think that's the way to go, Jim.
I don't even know what brand it is. There might not even be a brand. It's just there. Well, it's like those strawberry candies where you're like, I don't even know where you come from, but you just come. much like
that. I'm trying to think the go-to is, it's the people, that make the cranberry juice, Ocean Spray.
Oh, really?
That's usually the go-to I have. It's the white can with the blue label. That's what I always think of when I think of cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Now you may get some, like, knockoff version.
God knows what I get, Brian. Brian, I grew up a Sam's Club household, all right? God knows what brands those were.
Jim's like, you're eating those fancy Doritos. I have these flavored tortillas.
I have nacho-style tortilla chips.
Yeah. Oh, God, those were the worst. In the white bag, whatever the fuck they were. Oh.
Yeah, not like the old-school Doritos white bags either.
Yeah. And then as a kid, you'd always get tricked into thinking Party Mix would have, like, the chip that kind of looks like a Dorito. You're like, this is going to be just like a Dorito. And you have it, you're like, it's not like
You know
Dorito.
What? It's not like it, but I like the Party Mix Dorito, though, too.
Because it's fine.
It doesn't taste like any other Dorito knockoff out there. No. It's just like its own weird thing. Maybe it's the mishmash of all the flavors and salts, like, hitting it and stuff. It hits different, but it hits good.
Yeah, but it's not a Dorito. And at the end of the day, you're still like, I kind of want Doritos now. Man.
Man, see? Man.
Oh, but Chambers. So you put up some topics here, but I actually made a little addendum to your topics.
Oh, what did you do?
Well, so you put up here that Bud Light stock is on the rise again, and this is based on a Dick Masterson tweet. Or what? Yeah, what do you even call it if it's an X?
It's a tweet, but he just, we'll just call it Twitter. We're not going to call it that.
No, I was legit, like, I don't know. But basically, it's just showing the stock prices, and he's just saying, good game, losers. I hope your bake sale to save Twitter goes better than this boycott did. But it's really just showing AB InBev stock going up. It's nothing to do with Bud Light. It's their total company going up, and it shows a little dip that's happened since.
I mean, it was a pretty decent. Actually, I'm surprised that I don't know what between March and May made it go up as much as it did before it did a dip, before that April 1st dome of anything. I would really want to know why it jumped like that. Beforehand.
What jumped about? I mean,
it was in like the mid 50s and it jumped to like 67 for like a month and a half, and then Dylan Mulvaney hit, and then it went down to like 51. I think that was the low.
That was the lowest. I mean, but here's the deal. I mean, AB InBev in itself. Now, I saw that and I went, all right, so that they have a gazillion brands. We've covered it. But then I decided, I was like, let me just look in how Bud Light itself is doing. So there's two articles I had to link in because it made me laugh. One, so Kid Rock says, let the thing go. And it's time to move past the Bud Light boycott.
What?
Yeah. So apparently, do you know what drove
him? He was the biggest gay LARPer about this.
Do you know what drove this, Jim? He was at a party, and Trump said to him to go over and talk to the basically CEO of AB InBev, and he said, I had a really good talk with him, and you know what? I don't want to hurt the workers. I want them to get back to driving and doing
all this. Oh, go fuck yourself.
That's what he says in the article. He says, I want the drivers to go back to work. I want warehouse workers back in work. He said, he acknowledges he had a big role in it, he said, as a conservative, more importantly, as a patriot, I don't want to be in a party of cancel cultures and boycotts that ultimately hurt working class people that have no dogs, especially in this fight. So, Kid Rock saved it all, Jim. I guess that's the swing.
I hate him so much.
I know.
I hate him so
goddamn much. I hate him. But yeah, he also threw in all the stuff. He said, as a God-fearing man and as a Christian, I got to believe in forgiveness. He said, you know, they made a mistake, but you don't want to hold their head underwater and drown them and kill people's jobs. You know, the guy who shot up.
The guy who shot how many goddamn kids? You. Oh, my.
So I saw that, and of course I had to laugh at that. But then just tonight. A couple hours ago from local12.com, the Anheuser-Busch marketing executive steps down amid continued Bud Light sales decline. So they're acknowledging the sales are still going down. So finally...
But Brian, Kid Rock said he's sorry. It should be on the rise. It should be back up.
Well, maybe... That's what I was going to say, Jim. Maybe that's the rise. People are giving it a chance. But in general, it's still down. So Beno Garbi...
What?
It's Benoit. Chris Benoit's last name, but first name, Garby, joined the company in 2021, and he's resigning in order to embark on a new chapter in his career. So they're saying this leadership changes will help accelerate their return to growth as we continue to focus on what we do best, brewing great beer for everyone and earning our place in moments that matter. So, yeah.
I mean, I guess the brewing great beer thing is the first time for everything, but...
So, yeah, it sounds like AB InBev is up. Bud Light sales may still be down. Bud Light says forgive them, but their marketing exec, which I'm actually shocked it took this long to finally be like... It's not like you want someone's job over all this, but it was a blunder one way or another.
Right.
Like, so somebody's got to get changed out. I'm sure there's a buyout. I'm sure whoever that is, if you're that high up in AB InBev, I'm sure you're fine. So.
And yeah, like, yeah. They already laid off like a shitload of people, too. It is weird that the marketing manager took this long, but I'm more interested to see why AB InBev in general is hitting this spike. Is it just the holidays and people are just buying the shit up?
That's generally going to be my guess now. Is all, you know.
No one cares anymore. It's done. No one fucking cares.
And also, it's like you got Thanksgiving parties coming up. Bars and beer stores are probably just stocking up on it. So, yeah, I imagine this is just a normal spike. But, yeah, we'll, I said, we've been very light on Bud Light stuff for, it feels like many weeks now.
Thankfully, we've been light, but. Maybe this can be the final tip of the cap, Brian. Maybe this can finally be the capper and be done with it.
Jim, your savior, Kid Rock, says it's all good. So, Jim, let it go.
Brian, he is not my savior. My savior is one Alex Jones, Brian. Because he is jumping into the video game retro market, Brian.
I saw the headline, Alex Jones versus NWO. I said, no, this can't be real. And... it's at alexjonesgame.com.
Who will save us from the globalists, Brian?
And you're hit with a video that starts with classics like Pac-Man and Donkey Kong and Super Mario. Like, you're hit with all these, and then you see Alex Jones on a helicopter with a gun.
Brian, it's the Mount Rushmore of gaming. Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Mario, Alex Jones. And, like, the Mario he used, if you look at the clip... Like,
I don't know what it was.
That was like a fucking ROM hack. It wasn't even, like, any real Mario game.
I was going to say... That's why I was like, I don't know which one this actually is. It looks fake, but... So, did you ever play the game Broforce?
No, I have not. I've been meaning to.
Actually, really fun game. And I played the spinoff, the Expendabros one. With all the Expendables cast. Pretty fun. As soon as I saw this, I was like, that's kind of what it looks like. It's a worse looking version, but the way he shoots, the way the movement is, my guess is it's that same kind of engine. Cause like some of the graphics and HUD look the same. In it, you can have a flying Superman Trump helping you. You're fighting, I don't know who he's actually, I know he's fighting the globalists.
Fighting the New World Order.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who the guy is. Brian.
Kevin and Grant, they're on notice.
Well, that's my point. Like, there's lots of things in there. He's fighting Bill Clinton.
Right, a topical, island. I did not have sexual relations quote. Brian, a topical 25-year-old quote.
Jim, do you, there is such a part of me, it's like, is this still real? There's an option to buy it, and he's doing it even for the patriotic price of $17.76, Jim.
Right. It's a game that couldn't be sold anywhere but through him, all right? He couldn't have a game that would be censored. It would be censored everywhere if he tried to do it through a real publisher. You have to buy through him directly, Brian.
So I need to read these off, because all I'll have going when we're talking is the video. But it says, join Alex and his allies. Every day the deep state sues, lies, defames, and kills law-abiding patriots who threaten their power. Defeat big tech cucks and more, and other anti-American communist bosses throughout the adrenaline-inducing adventure.
I love him. I love him so much.
Play as Alex for the first time in history. Experience the world through InfoWars leader Alex Jones's eyes and see the war he fights. Save the babies. It's no secret the NWO reptiles are after our children. Play NWO Wars now to help save these innocent victims from these monsters. Ah, Jim. Right. Oh, and then they are turning the friggin' frogs gay. Only Alex Jones can stop this madness and restore balance in the brain force. What the hell is the brain force? Like,
I don't know.
There's so many questions. I'm
right.
Like,
I thought buying Super Male Vitality was supposed to restore my brain force. Now I have to buy a game?
Jim, I was going to say, is there any way this can't... This almost has to be in your 23 for 23, Jim. I feel like you have to do this.
There's a part of me that wants to play it so badly.
And I feel like you have to stream it.
I can't give him $20. I cannot give Alex Jones $20. I could steal the game. I could gladly steal the game and play it. But like,
apparently he's claiming it's on PC, Mac, iOS, and Android, and there's over 10,000 downloads. That, now, this isn't a write-up, obviously. So
right.
Oh, my God. There.
I just love how the end of the trailer is just him screaming.
It is.
He's
just
fully embracing that he is a meme himself.
Could you imagine, like, being the guy that has to, like, program this?
Part of me, as I was watching the trailer, I was like, this almost looks like it'd be kind of fun. And then you hear all these, like, little, all the little sound snippets of, like, the awful voice acting and impressions of, like, the political figures he's, like, fighting against. And their old, overdone quips and shit like that. And I'm just going, ugh.
This is the market we live in, Jim. I mean, I'm not comparing quality or anything, but like the same way there was like an angry video game nerd game. I was like, if you're just an online personality, the likelihood that you could just get a game programmed for you is very high. Like, who would have ever thought of an Alex Jones game?
Right, Papers, Please 2, starring a completionist. It's perfect.
Damn it. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
But yeah, I mean, like, I was watching this, I was just like, God, this is so bad, but so funny. And so, someone out there, someone who knows how to steal ROMs, someone please steal it from me and send it to me. I gotta play it, I just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
And you know me, I pay for some shit. But even Jim, I look at this and I'm like, I can't pay $20 to the Sandy Hook guy. Just someone send it to me.
Jim, I mean, you're gonna let the globalist win if you don't buy it.
Right, Fauci is shooting off goddamn poison for babies at you. You have to save the world.
I love it so much. I mean, and here's the deal. Of course,
who's the witch he's fighting? Is it Hillary? Is it Nancy Pelosi? I can't tell.
Here's the thing. Could be all. I would absolutely love to know like the actual numbers of downloads, because they just hand wrote like 10,000 downloads. I want to know like what is the actual download rate. You know what? As we're talking, I'm gonna look on Steam. I'm gonna see if it's actually available on our
right. It's only available through alexjones.com.
You're right. So I won't know the answer there. So never mind.
Can't be censored.
Damn it. We're going to go on that. Somehow we're going to get Jim that ROM and you're going to play it.
Right. You be a patriot. You pay for that game, Brian. You put that on your credit card.
Jim, now we're going to take it out of the Patreon funds.
You know what? Worth it. Fucking worth it.
There you go. Our first.
Shit's in your name anyway, so you go right ahead, Brian.
Chambers. All right. Let's move off all this globalist talk and right-wing talk. And
Brian, we can't. They're ruining the world. Just the way these remakes are ruining the game of the year lists.
This was such a weird article. I know there's like probably very little for video game journalists to write about. But when an entire article is built around a random ass dude's tweet from Fighting Cowboy, whoever, he just said, hot take, but I don't think Remake should be nominated for Game of the Year. I thought RE4 was a 5 out of 5 game, but it's weird to me that a remake takes priority for a nomination over a new game. So the article just basically discusses this. It says, there's some people that feel this way, and then there's others that are fine with it. But, when I read this, if you do devil's advocate, because let's be honest, Game of the Year in general doesn't matter already. And as we pointed out, they have those two really random indie game categories. Like, one is indie game and one is new indie game. So I almost
and Brian, there's
like,
also most anticipated game. Obvious award that's deserved on something.
And streamers of the years, the people we never fucking know who's on there.
Quackity Master Race.
But here's the deal. Should there be a category for just remakes? I mean, once again, let's preface all this with, who cares? Nobody actually cares. But if you were going to argue it that you actually cared about these things, knowing that Resident Evil 4 Remake did very little different than the original game, does that take away some of the oomph of the idea of, like, should a remake be considered its own thing for something like this? Or should there be a category? Because I feel like, especially now, there's so many remakes.
Yeah, this was actually, I don't know if it was that specific tweet this article goes off of, but that was a discourse that I was seeing going around on Twitter after the announcements and all that shit, where there were a lot of people going, should Resi 4 be there? And I'm in that camp of, if it does enough, like, I don't think a remaster should ever be on that list, mm-hmm. but if a remake does enough to set itself apart, then I would go, yeah, you can throw that on there. Again, that's going to be very, very subjective. And, like, yeah. You played Resi 4, Brian, so do you think that did enough different to warrant being on a list?
So that's why I said, while there are moments, at the end of the day,
it's a yes or no question, Brian. Don't be a pussy.
I don't know, because it's like, because then you get into that argument, like, it maybe added, it's not like Resident Evil 1 Remake, that felt legit different, and they added completely different
complete sections. Overhaul, yeah.
This one did overhaul, like, a few bosses here and there, and it did rehaul, like, one or two areas, but on the whole, the game feels very, very familiar, but the controls a lot different, like, all these pieces. I think it should be on there, period, like you. I think it's more whatever game that year is the impact, right? Like, I don't necessarily think, but I'm trying to say, if there was an argument to be made, would it make sense to have call it a remake or remaster of the year? Like, have let both of them be in the same category.
That's actually a good idea because there's so many that come out now. Like, a big news of everyone bitching and talking about is The Last of Us 2 Remastered that's going to be coming out. And it's like, how much different are they possibly going to do for a game that's like 3 years old, 4 years old, something like that? Like, we were talking about it not that long ago on this podcast and all the controversy around that.
Yeah, but those, I think you pointed out, like, they optimize some shit, they do some things with graphics, but they're not changing the core game.
But yeah, is that a remake? That just seems like a remaster.
Yeah, so that's where I go. I feel remakes of this caliber that go this much into it. Now, like, if you were to throw in when the Switch did the thing, the remaster of, like, Ocarina of Time for Switch, that should not go in there because literally they did nothing different.
Or, I mean, Skyward Sword, they didn't do Ocarina, but yes.
They didn't do Ocarina? I thought
that was on the, that was on the 3DS.
That was on the 3DS, but then they ported it to Switch, right? And I thought, didn't they even upscale it or something?
No, I don't think Ocarina is on the Switch at all.
It's not?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm. Okay. Then there's one of those games from the N64 library that I thought was recently, because we talked about it on here. Was it Super Mario 64, maybe?
Like, oh, yeah, when they did Mario 64 for that that All-Star 3D All-Stars collection, and they didn't really do that much.
So that, to me, that's an example of, like, no. Like, if you have to rebuild the engine for a game, that's when I feel like it's a remake. And this is a rebuilt engine, so, or a new engine from the original. There's my line, Jim. You asked for my line? There's my fucking line. It's a globalist.
But Brian, I mean, it's not a question at all anyway, because the game of the year has already come out. It's Alex Jones versus the New World Order. But
Jim, why is that not a category?
Snubbed. Just like Hogwarts, Brian. Snubbed.
Yeah. So, yes, if a remake, if you build, like whenever the potential Silent Hill 2 remake comes around, or so many games, like, there's so many games now, and, you know, we talk about that in movies, how, like, things get stale and you remake it, the hell out of things, but, man, is it really jumping the shark that games are already getting so many remakes?
I mean, Naughty Dog obviously is the worst with this. Like, Naughty Dog and, no, not so much Final Fantasy. No, I mean, like, Naughty Dog's just like, yeah, we're remaking a game that's, you know, already in HD. It's like, I mean, maybe you could also say, like, that Dark Souls remake that came out a couple years ago. Though, I mean, I know it did a lot of quality of life improvements. Like, I know talking to the fans, the first Dark Souls is, like, kind of rough to go back to. So that I guess sucks. If you did enough to it, that makes it different, even though it's still at its core the same game. I don't know. It's a gray area.
Yeah. Like, I talked about at the beginning, Alone in the Dark. Apparently, that's getting a legit full remake. I think of the original game, not of the remake of the remake.
Right, of the mid-2000s, you have to stand by a light poster, you die, remake or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something I'd be interested to see. That I want to see more things like that. I want to see games from the 90s, you know, like the Doom remake. That was a remake.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't a remake or a reboot. That was just its own goddamn thing.
But in theory, calling it Doom, like, it's a remake in the sense that it's like a rebuilding of the entire franchise.
Yeah, like a hard reboot or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I think Resident Evil 4 deserves to be in there because it's different enough with the new engine.
All right. So, fair.
Yeah. But Chambers, speaking of remakes, I don't know if this is one you were excited for. It's a game I've never played, but I've heard nothing but amazing things for it, which is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Apparently that remake, which was announced back in 2021, is dead.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I was looking forward to it because, like, one of my best friends, he is a Star Wars fanatic. I would go over there and he'd be playing this, and I was like, oh man, this looks pretty goddamn cool, but I never got around to playing it myself. And I was like, you know what? If they're working on a remake, I'll just wait for that because of all the quality of life improvements that they would, in theory, have. But Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is dead. At least that's what Giant Bomb's Jeff Grubb had to say on Friday morning due to the Game Mess morning show. I just want to clear it up. The game is not being worked on right now, Grubb said. Just full stop, this game is not being worked on in any way at any studio. So this was being worked on originally by Asper Media, and then the Embracer Group shifted the game over to Saber Interactive in August of 2022. And then after that point, it basically went completely silent. They started digging down tweets and posts and social media and videos about it. So, yeah. I don't think it's coming out, Bri.
What? I know it was made by BioWare.
Yes.
But what? How did it actually play? Like, what?
Like,
is it an action, third person?
You know what? You played some Mass Effect, right?
Yes.
Imagine a rougher, around the edges Mass Effect with the Star Wars cone of paint and playing as, like, a Jedi and shit.
So kind of like RPG-ish.
Yeah.
Now, are you only being a Jedi in it, I assume?
I mean, I don't want to give away, like, the spoilers and stuff, but basically a Jedi, yeah.
Okay, so, like, you're basically, I guess you can level up, like, shooting skills, lightsaber skills, all, you know.
All that stuff, yeah.
The mind trick shit, all that.
Yeah, it was very RPG heavy-ish in that sense, like the first Mass Effect was, too. Yeah.
Okay. So,
and, like, this big story that, like, everyone seemed to love. And, like, you know, told, like, a big backstory of all this kind of crap or, like, an in-between story. So, I mean, everyone loved it for a reason. And, yeah, it's very disappointing to me, at least, that it's not coming out anytime soon, if ever.
I think it'll be a game, though. It has legs. I also kind of feel like right now the market is so oversaturated with Star Wars shit that they need a little bit of a drought.
Burnout.
That's what I mean. Between the movies, the gazillion shows and spinoffs, the gazillion games. Like, and here's the deal. While there are probably, I don't know, 100 games easily, There's plenty of quality ones. That you talk about remakes, the one I'm so excited for is Dark Forces, because I had that on my PC as a kid, and this is before I was even that much into Star Wars, but I had the old joystick style shooter that, like, my parents got for the computer. So it's like, you know, like the pilot style.
You're playing with pilot joy. I'm drunk. I can't work right now.
Yes. But yeah, like, I remember I had the three suction things I would have to stick down. And, yeah, going around, that game I love to death. I think I actually still have it. But, of course, you know, what modern computer comes with a CD drive?
Much less a parallel port drive for you to plug it into and anything like that.
Yeah. So I will literally, I'm really hoping they commit to that, because that was a game I loved. But there's so many great Star Wars games, and Yeah, this, like you, I heard of this one. I might even have it on one of my Xboxes or PlayStations.
I think I have KOTOR in my schblub back here. So maybe I'll eventually get to it, but I probably won't because I don't have the time for a BioWare RPG right now.
Now, Jim, I still would say this is not a spoiler, but is the story in that canon at all, or is it still just completely made up?
I think that was one of those ones that was canon until Disney came in for the sequel trilogy and got rid of like a lot of the extended universe shit. So I do believe that was canon at one point.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, but then again, I think they backtracked on that because everything's... I don't fucking know anymore. I don't care. I don't know. Like,
I'm of the opinion you need to be at least three generations of games behind before you should consider remaking a game. Because I think like this is a good good candidate for a remake. Because that came out.
This could definitely this could definitely use it. Yes.
Yeah. So. We'll see. Only time will tell. But Chambers, to close us up, and you know, this is something we've had on here. We've pushed a number of times.
So, little peek behind the curtain for everybody out there. We have topics that we'll have on our list that we'll just like kind of keep there for like a rainy day. And then, you know, actually this was almost here last week until like Monday hit and we had like 1,000 news stories to talk about. But yeah, we have ones that are just like in the back burner until it's like, we have a slow week or a record early. Let's go with it this time. But this is interesting for us being in the quote unquote content creation world, Brian, where Newegg posted a study about how much streamers actually make.
It's an interesting post because they did a poll of 2,000 U.S. gamers. They split them by generation.
Brian, that would be 2,000 U.S. racists.
Damn it, Jim. And they found making a career out of streaming can be a daunting task. Shocker. So 51% of those polled made money from it. And the average person made just a little over $1,200 within the past 12 months.
Killing it.
So still, there was 10%. There was still enough for 10% of those polled to consider quitting their jobs to stream full time. So here's the deal. You and I have talked about this. We even have friends who stream, do things that have done this, quit their job and start it.
Yep.
I think it's such a very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like the devil offering you an apple, right? Like, can you live off of streaming? Like, kind of like the ideal thing. If you get asked what you want to do as a kid, of course, playing video games and making money at it in some capacity would be it. And streaming seems to be the way and trying to grind in those hours. So I do like how this article really dives into it. Most people define a successful streaming career by maintaining an average of 3,200, a little bit more regular viewers per month, and making an average of 29 annually. So 29K annually.
Below the poverty line?
I don't know. That was going to be my question. Like, I don't know what that actually calculates out to.
Wow, you keep reading article stats. I will look this up.
Here's the deal. Is 29K pre-tax, post-tax? There's lots of questions my adult brain now would ask that previous me. Would be like, that sounds like a lot.
Okay, the poverty line is, goddamn, $14,000 a year?
Jesus.
You're above that, but that, like, 29 is still not a lot.
And you should be streaming for an average of 22 hours per week. So
that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. So they said, you know, and you have to look the part. You should have good equipment, fast internet, good camera, high quality mic.
Yeah, basically those are all around like from asking these people around like the 50% mark where they say like it's funny that like saying good equipment is better than having a good camera, a good mic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it. We've seen some.
And apparently, 60% think being successful is easy, whereas only 21% said it's difficult. That's kind of shocking to me.
Well, here's the deal. If you ask anyone, even a non-gamer at all, about PewDiePie, Ninja, these kind of names, they're like, that's just a guy that plays video games, right? Like, they don't think anything beyond that. And in their mind, it's like the easiest thing in the world. It's like, well, you're just on there doing it.
Right.
Now, it's like anything. If you look at something and you see the top level of success, it's like, well, how difficult is that really? You know, it's a frigging grind, man. And I'm sorry, like, you and I have joked about it. Like, what would it take for us to even consider quitting our jobs to do this? It's like the amount you'd have to be making would be so ridiculous. Now, granted, we're in the minority in terms of, like, the type of people that would be doing this would probably be, you know, 19 or early 20s, don't have dependents, don't have a house, don't have, like, all the types of things that someone like Jim and I would have.
Right.
So it's a completely different market or thing to look at. But it's like, even if you were one of those guys, but don't go to the magic outliers. Go to someone in between. Say you're someone, you've made it, you're making 80 or 90K, right? To have a family and everything else and know that everything depends on you being able to retain viewers, that is so volatile in my eyes that it's never going to be something that is sustainable at all. Like, it's like being in crypto or any of that shit. Like, you know, it's going to bottom out at some point. Like, so anyone that uses this as their main only primary, unless you're making millions, I don't know. I think that's one of those ones, like, you should have a backup plan, like, very seriously, and have real world skills. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I mean, like, God bless you if you try to do it. But, yeah, I mean, like, I've raged before on here about hating streamers. But, obviously, it's, like, hating that, like, top 1.01%. Like, your Pokimanes, your XQCs, your Aspen Golds, all Amaranth, all those people. The ones who can just, like, stream for 6 hours and spend a ton of it just, like, sitting there eating or taking a shit and just, like, letting someone else's video play, that kind of deal. They're the ones who've already made it, and they're going to make their money regardless. After that, it's like anything else in this, like, social media content creation world where it's, like, it's just a bunch of people fucking mucking and grinding. And, like, before, I probably would have been like, oh, yeah, like, they even had things about, like, how many people consider it to be a real job. Obviously, the boomers, it's like 4% think it's a real job. Surprising amount of, like, I think, like, 40% of millennials do, which is, like, our age group. So, I kind of are surprised it's even that high. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, like, to your point, we know people who have quit their job to be full-time people. And or full-time streamers and content creators. And even they have to take side gigs and use their old skills still to bring in enough to supplement things. It's not easy. And there's a billion people in the world trying to do the same goddamn thing. It's a thing where it's like, it's a dream job, but to get there, yeah, you're going to be really busting your ass until you're at that point.
And, you know, I look at it like, would that just completely kill any fun games have for you?
It's got it, right?
Like, because imagine if you had to just put it at base 40 hours. If you said tomorrow you're quitting your job, you're going to be a full-time streamer. The 8 hours you would have spent at work, you're going to dedicate Monday through Friday streaming. You're going to tell me when you get off, like, off your job, you're going to want to still play games? Fuck no. Like, I feel like, why would you want to? Like, your escapism and enjoyment of games now are completely tied to, like, that's my living. I don't know.
What if a full-time streamer, like, they get off stream and they just, like, sit down in front of an Excel file and just, like, start to do some kind of data entry and just go, ah.
I feel like that.
That complete inverse of our lives.
You'd have to be like, I want to read a book. I need to go out. Like, I need to interact with other people. Because also, there's that weird effect. Like, I feel like, I mean, you're the internet guy, right? Like, you...
Unfortunately.
In theory, you're talking to people all day long, right?
Yeah.
You have group chats. You're interacting. But you're not really interacting with anyone face-to-face. Like, yes, you are interacting with people. But, like, it is such a shallow, like, moment of, like, interaction where... Not to say you can't have real connections with people, but it's so different than being able to actually talk to someone and this and that. That,
yeah.
I imagine it fucks you up in the head, to be honest. Like, I don't know. There's something there where I just go, ugh. I wouldn't want to do that.
Especially by, like, real world standards, because, like, for as ubiquitous as social media is in this day and age and all that stuff, you hop off the internet and talk to people who aren't online at all, which is what you can deal with at, like, a 9-to-5 job. It's still, like, you can bring up, like, the most intense story that's taken over all of Twitter, and they'll go, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like,
I do that with you.
You do that with me. So, and you're like, what the fuck is this thing that I see you talking about and responding to? Like, shit like that. So, yeah, even for as, like, intense and, like, you know, as evolved as it's all becoming, it still hasn't hit that threshold yet where that's, like, truly real life. So, yeah, like, there's no way that doesn't fuck you up in the head where you, like, kind of lose almost track of reality because you're so, like, insulated to your niche and shit like that. And then you gotta, like, always run your, like, Discord so you have your PayPigs and your Patreons and your social media and trying to interact with other creators and towing the fine line and trying to say the right thing at every single time or else you're going to get canceled and lose your career or piss off this person or that person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can be pissed off at someone who gave you something before as like a business deal and then they do something shitty and you're like, oh, I don't want to, you know, talk shit about this person, but I don't like what they're doing. Like, the fucking fine line.
No, you really, it's funny because what those people are experiencing is what you would experience in a corporate office gig, which is, it doesn't matter what your profession is, there is going to be a political aspect to it. And like you're pointing out, if say we streamed with somebody and we're like, these fucking guys, like what the fuck? Like, but you know, you really can't or shouldn't do it unless you're a channel that's built your reputation on being a shithead like that.
Right.
Like if you're trying to play nice in a sandbox, even if it was terrible, when you hit record, you're going to be like, no, those were great guys. You know, like you're going to play the game. And it's interesting, you know, you do get, we've talked about this when we went to too many games and everything, the click mentality of some of these groups.
Oh my God. It is so goddamn clicky.
It is amazing that like, whoo, doggy. It's like, they must not have got it in high school or like ever with a friend group. So this is their time to shine. I don't know what to call it, but I'm like, guys, we're guys that talk about video games and curse too much. Like, let's not act like we're that culturally significant. And I bring that up because in the same poll, of the 2,000 people, 65% felt that streamers were more important culturally than comedians, 64% than athletes.
I mean, talking to 2,000 streamers, though, too.
And 62% writers. Now, they did say that they're less culturally important than actors and music artists, but still, I'm like, that's insane. And my favorite line was they found streamers to be more important to communities than 50% said educators, 46% said healthcare workers, 47% said lawmakers, 52% said clothing brands, which that I agree with.
Yeah, and then I can go with that.
Retail companies, tech startups, charities, librarians. Like, just the balls to say they're more important than educators, healthcare workers, and lawmakers. I'm like, that's such a stupid goddamn sentence to even consider.
But that reminds me of like that tweet from like, oh my God, it's like probably like 5-6 years ago now. Oh, we've been doing it for way too long. When Ninja had his little like spurg out about like people being like, oh, you're just a streamer. And he's like, oh, well, I have to practice like, you know, so many hours a day and I have to be like the best in my game and shit like that. If anything, I work harder than, like, an NFL player. And everyone was just like,
yeah, don't ever say that. The stream, and it is funny, you know what? There is such a big delta between a streamer and, I would say, a YouTube content creator. Meaning, like,
yeah, it's a different world.
It's so different, like, yeah, for a streamer, dude, it takes energy. A lot of reasons why if I don't stream on a Thursday night, it's because I'm just balls tired. And I know I'm like, I'm not going to be entertaining. You're just going to see me blankly playing a game and I'm not going to be like on and ready to be like Mr. Talkative. So I'm not discounting that you got to put energy into streaming. But like, yeah, it's like such a different, the same way you'd have to be very smart with editing, telling a story and everything if you create original content on YouTube. And like, you know, there's different skills there. But yeah, even like if you could make a living off of YouTube creation, streaming, I don't know, man. I just, the mindset that we grew up with, I'd always be like, there's no save here. There's no save file. Like if this fails, if one time you have a bad take on something, and you get buried, you're done. Like, what are you going to, you're going to end up like Boogie, you know, like that's a prime example.
Speaking of Boogie, and that's a good segue, like Wings of Redemption, the guy, he does, like, they do the Local podcast now, and like Wings will be on there and he lives his life through his streaming and like playing Call of Duty, and he will constantly tweet out like, I don't even want to play this anymore. I have no desire to play this, but no one else will show up if I don't play this game. And it's like, oh my God, you're almost like trapped in a prison of doing this shit. Like, this is obviously partially a cope, but like, there's a thing where it's just like, I'm like, not that I'm glad that we haven't taken off more than we have, but it's just like, it's kind of freeing because we can still be like normal-ish people and not to be like tied down to this bullshit too.
No, I agree with that.
And that like the people that like we like see and hang out with at these conventions are also kind of the more normal person kind of type.
Yeah. Yeah. We've
seen all kinds. We've seen all kinds.
We've seen kinds. And here's the deal. Like, I love...
This is coming from me, and I'm fucked up.
I love Dead by Daylight content creators on YouTube. It's something I watch, but here's the deal. Like, the one guy, like, I actually really enjoy, he's very entertaining. His content is good. But he's even said, like, sometimes I just want to play a different, like, style of game. He's like, but, like, it's not sustainable, so I always have to come back to Dead by Daylight. Like, so... And there's a whole community of people like that, and especially these top-tier streamers. Like, some of them have in the millions of viewers and whatever, but, like, they're so predictable in what they have to churn out, and you're like, there's no way you're not bored of a game that you've already put 10,000 hours in or more. Like, I do look at that as a prison. I joked before, I said, it's like the movie Rounders, right? Like, you literally, you just have to grind it out, and that would be terrible, especially if you were linked to one game. Like, imagine, Jim, if like Tetris 99 was your thing. It got you millions of views, but you always had to play just Tetris 99.
Oh my God. I would find a toaster and a bathtub and I would end it all.
I mean,
right, I'm close to that, not making any money off it, much less having to do that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when we set this all up, It was a very goofy thing, but one thing I appreciate that we did do is, like, we could have easily, at many points we saw, like, oh, this type of thing is getting the most views, but it would have very quickly boxed us in to, like, well, now we're just like everyone else. We just got to really focus in on that retro scene and this particular console and this particular type of game. But it's like, no, we went all over the place. Sometimes new games, sometimes this, sometimes franchise shit. Like, I like that idea so much more than just being like, we are a this streaming thing, period.
Yeah, it killed us in the grand scheme of things, but it's like, at least I don't hate doing it.
It saved our souls, Jim. That's what it did.
It's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, listen, if you're out there and you want to stream, I'm just saying, be extremely cautious. I don't think have it as a hobby, a pastime, a something else. But if, like, especially if you're in college or something and you're trying to consider it, please get yourself a life skill first. Like, it's like being the guy that's like, I'm going to end up in the NBA, or I'm going to end up being you're not going to be the top tippy tier of any of this. And yeah, that's just my word of caution. I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, but no, it is an interesting peel behind the curtain. I don't even say it to this. I fucking suck. But it is one of those things where it's just like, it's interesting to see what these streamers actually think in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And yeah, to anyone out there trying it, good fucking luck.
Yeah, you're going to need it. But Chambers, speaking of good luck, I know it's been a long day of drinking. How did that Trogs treat you tonight?
It's tasty, but I'm hitting the point where I don't know if it's the combination of everything I had today or just this, where my tummy's just sitting there going, ugh. Like, I already texted my wife and I was like, leave me out of liquid IV for after I'm done tonight before I go to bed. Daddy's got work tomorrow and it might be a long fucking day.
Oh, Chambers.
But the beer itself, very tasty. So, like I said before, if you hate hops but you want to try to have an IPA to sit around with your IPA friends, this is a good one for you.
And yeah, Dawn of the Dead, it is delicious. The thing is, I get too much of a malt flavor to know exactly what it is, but I do taste the hoppiness of a pale ale. So I don't know what it is. It's delicious. I love the can. Obviously, the little love to George Romero. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it was good, but it just broke my brain. Like, I couldn't pinpoint what it was.
Yeah, I still don't know. I would recommend it if you can find it. So, Neshaminy Creek, usually, they very rarely have a miss. So, they're always good. So, with that, guys, I know Thanksgiving's already passed, but...
Hey, we gave you a quick one for your Thanksgiving travels. All right? There you exactly. go. No time commitments.
Yeah, so with that, guys, we want to say thank you all so much. If you haven't hit subscribe and the notification bells, please do that. That helps us tremendously. And if you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, hit subscribe. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating. And if you do, any review you want to give us, even if you want to bash us, we will read on these Power Hour podcasts. With that, we want to say have a good night and cheers.
Cheers, everybody.